All right, all right. So y'all, we are studying the books of the different women of the Bible. And last time, who remembers the lady that we talked about? Anybody? Queen of Sheba. Tonight, let me give you a few hints on who we're talking about tonight. This is the first hint is it's a lady. Praise God. Second hint is she's known after her city. You can guess anytime. You're still waiting. All right. She's known after her city. She's not someone of high esteem, but she is someone who is of low esteem in the Bible. I'm going to pause right there. Okay, anybody, who do I hear? We hear Ruth, no, not quite. Rahab, okay, let me give you another clue. She's in the New Testament. Who? Mary Magdalene, yay! We will talk about Mary Magdalene tonight. You see, God led my heart to Mary Magdalene. Has anybody heard anybody teach on Mary Magdalene before? Kind of, sorta, not really. Kind of, sorta, maybe. Kind of, okay. All right. I believe that God is sovereign. And God directs us on what exactly he wants us to talk about. And so while I was studying, the word that I have in my spirit is humility. I've been having this in my spirit for a few days, probably even a few weeks. And with that, the Lord was like, don't be proud about anything. So I've been in the position in worship like I am desperate and I am in need. So whenever I prayed, I said, God, who should I minister about? He said, well, you're not in the frame of mind to minister about a leader. You're not in the frame of mind to minister about a queen. He said, I don't want you to talk about somebody high and lofty, but I want you to go and look down. He said, I want you to look down in places which some may call gutter places. He said, I want you to look at a woman that nobody likes to emulate. Nobody wants to be like. I said, my God, who are you wanting me to study? And he led me to Mary Magdalene. Now, we have heard so many different things about this Mary Magdalene, most of which have been construed by Hollywood and very fictitious about some type of wicked thing I'm not going to even waste a minute talking about. But what we're going to find about Mary Magdalene is going to be only from the scriptures tonight. We're not going to take it from any of our own wicked imaginations, but we're going to see what God said about Miss Mary tonight. The Lord blessed me with studying Mary Magdalene. And can I tell you that we call her Mary Magdalene, but her name is just Mary, which in the Hebrew is really Miriam. But they call her Mary Magdalene because of where she was from, a city called Magdala. And they had so many Marys, just like in our day, they have a lot of Marys. Like my grandmother, she was Mary Helen. She had a sister named Mary, and they had another Mary. I think it was like three Marys in one family. So y'all know that Mary is a popular name. But the reason why they called her Mary Magdalene is so that we can distinguish which Mary we're talking about. And we've seen them do it before because our Lord and Savior, Jesus, is considered Jesus of Nazareth. So sometimes whenever there's a popular name, God identifies them with the city. We're gonna find three of our points. We're going to have 3 points tonight, two of which are going to be found in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 2. And the third point is going to be found in Mark 16, verse 9. This story of Mary of Magdala is recorded in all four Gospels, which is not a common thing. It's in all four Gospels. The first point that we'll talk about is called a certain women. The second point is called Mary of Magdala. And the third point is he appeared first to Mary. Let's go ahead and get right into it. I'm going to try to be very efficient with our time. 30, 40 minutes. That's my goal. Yes, we can do this. 8:10, we're out of here. 8:15, you're at your house. 8:20, you're in the tub. 8:30, you're in bed. God's fair. All right. So beginning, certain women. Let's just go ahead and look at chapter 8. All right, here I am. Okay. The Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. So the first point, the Bible says certain women. Now, the way that Luke records this is right after he tells the story of the woman with the alabaster box. Not that they have any correlation, but he is just pinning different stories about these different women. Now, you got to know that most of the Bible is about men and their heroic acts. Most of the books of the Bible are named after men: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Micah, Jonah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Nahum, and so forth. But here, I'm just in awe of God, of how he wants us to know about this woman, Mary of Magdala. But not only her, he's talking about a group of women, the first point being certain women. You see, the Bible says that there were a group of women that had been healed of infirmities and evil spirits. These group of women, they followed Jesus from town to town after he healed them. I was amazed by it, Tara, because before this point, before Jesus came on the scene, women were outcasts. They weren't really permitted to speak. They were considered property. They were, in most of the time, in polygamous relationships. They were second class, not seen as too much of any value. So when Jesus comes on the scene, he completely changes everything. You see, with the woman in with the alabaster box, for her to come in and approach him was a big thing. That is why the Bible says that she stood from behind him, because it wasn't common for women to come in the same vicinity, in the same meeting as men. But you see, right here, Jesus is completely flipping the script right here. He is welcoming women like we've never seen before. And I said, God, I love you so much. Because here in the text that we see that there is a love that he has for his girls. That he has not forgotten about us. That even though we are to be submissive, even though we came out of Adam, there is still love from the Father for us girls. The Bible said certain women. He welcomed these women to follow him. He welcomed them. But the Bible says, what type of women followed him? Did all of the women in all of the city follow him? No. The Bible said those that have been healed of infirmities and diseases and of evil spirits. And what God showed me here is that when you have been touched by God, you will follow God. There were many women in the scriptures that God touched, We hear about the story all the time. The Bible said the woman that had the issue of blood, when she leaned over and touched the hem of his garment, he was completely flipping the script, y'all. This was unheard of. But not only her, what about, we know all the scriptures about the Samaritan woman in John 4. Whenever she met Jesus at the well, Miss Charlotte, and they spoke, and Jesus told her, he says, listen, woman, when you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. So there were times, Ms. Vanessa, when he talked to women, completely breaking the mold. What about the Syrophoenician woman? When she came to him and he said, listen, we ought not to give to you because you're not an Israelite. She said, but even the dogs eat from the master's table. But that's not all. What about the one caught in adultery? When they caught her, all of the men, they thought it was going to be a regular day. They gathered around and they each had a stone in their hands, Miss Tara. But here Jesus comes on the scene and he says, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. He stood up for women. I said, Jesus was the first one with the Me Too movement. He said, enough is enough. But they are valuable. They are chosen. They are royal rubies, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Now, these women, the Bible said that they went together. They stayed together. I believe that they formed a sisterhood. They traveled together, following the ministry. And you see, what I love about it is nobody told them that they have to follow him. They followed them on their own. You see, when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, he healed them, but only one of them came back. And look, he didn't come back, the Bible didn't say, to follow him. He just came back to say thank you. But you see, women, women say, where can I go? Where can I go from your presence? You see, there is something in us that men don't have. We have what's called staying power. We're the natural mothers, the nurturers. We know how to wait on something. And we don't give up so easily. We have a tenacity. We have an endurance that men just don't have, and I love them to pieces. And this is what you see in these women. They just didn't want to let Jesus go. You know, I can see him moving from town to town, and you're like, they're still with me. I'm going to Galilee, they're still with me. I'm going to Capernaum, they're still with me. The women wouldn't leave. And you see, every ministry is blessed to have a group of women. Because the women are the ones that come early. The women are the ones that stay late. The women are the ones at the prayer time. I thank God for you women in here tonight. Yeah. The Bible says certain women. Point number two, Mary of Magdala. We're doing good on time, y'all. Mary of Magdala. Magdala was a city that was by the Sea of Galilee. They said that it was a city that sold fish, but not just any type of fish, but salted fish. So it was a very popular city. And I don't know if you've heard, but in the news recently, in fact, in 2009, the Ashkenazis wanted to build something exactly where Magdala was. So in their excavation of the city to build this resort of some sorts, they discovered the true city underneath the ruins. And in that discovery, they found a stone. And I just thought it was very interesting. We have a little picture of it. It's called the Stone of Magdala. And can you see that menorah on it? And this is the thing. People say our Bible is not real. But that menorah testifies that God has a people and that his people lived in that area. So even to this date, they are still discovering major things in that city. They said the city was a rich city, and they had synagogues, they had pools, they had underwater plumbing. It was just a top-notch city. It was a wealthy city. You see, as you read the story of Luke about Mary of Magdala, you will find out her and Susanna and the other women, they gave to the ministry. And I'm believing they gave to the ministry because they had substance, being that she was from a city of wealth. But nonetheless, Magdala was the home of this Mary. Magdala was the home of this Mary. Now, the Bible says in verse 2, let's look at it. Look at it with me here. It says, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Now, this Mary had seven devils, Miss Leola. Now, we know that the Bible is not arbitrary, and it doesn't say anything for nothing. So the number seven here means the number of completion, the number of perfection. So what are you saying? Are you saying that she had seven devils? Well, not exactly. She could have. But what I'm saying is that Satan had a complete control over her life. You see, and what I don't want us to do is think that Mary Magdalene was somehow mental and destitute, which she could have been. But you know, sometimes a person could have seven devils but sit in this place, and you could not tell that they are bound. You see, Satan had a hold on her life. He had complete and total bondage. She was locked up. She was in a cage. I remember when we ministered at the prison one August. It was a group of us. We went out to the prison, and whenever you walk in, they check you. You check your ID, and then after that, the gate closed behind us. And it wasn't a little gate like a door, but it was bram bram. And I felt a sense of bondage. I felt captive. But it didn't stop there. We went in the cell blocks and we saw the women and we ministered to the women, which was a good thing. But then, for some strange reason, they nominated me to go to lockdown. Miss Grace was there. And so, you know, I'm in front of all of the women of Philadelphia, so I'm not going to show that I'm scared. And all of the ladies are saying, will you be okay, First Lady? I'm like, yes. I'm like, God help me, Jesus, Father. I can say it now because it's over. But they were so worried for me, but I was like, no, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. God is with me. So anyways, we go into lockdown, and within lockdown, it's in another room, it's in another building, separate, and there's gates, and you got to go through four and five doors, and all of the doors are thick and thick, and it gets thicker. And then you walk into this one room with cells on one side and a wall on the other side. And what the Lord revealed to me is that they are bound. They are captive and can't get out of that space. And so as I was ministering and talking to some of the ladies, and one of them was pregnant, and she says, I have like 3 years to stay in this one cell, and I can't get out, and I'm just locked in here. But as I was studying this lesson, the Lord showed me, if you thought that that was a lockdown, What Satan had on these women has no comparison at all to this lockdown. You see, the seven devils, a woman is not her own when you're bound like that. You see, the inmates, they could not do what they wanted to do, Miss Alicia. They had a little window that they could look out of. They couldn't even really come and touch my hand. They were locked up. But you see, the women that were following Jesus, especially Mary of Magdala, she had been bound worse than that. She had been bound in the soul, and she had been bound in the mind. She could not get out. She couldn't get out even if she wanted to get out. And you know, many people speculate on what type of bondage she had. They said she could have been a part of the cult. They said that she could have been a prostitute. I don't know what she was bound from, Miss Mary. But we know the effects of bondage. We know that every wicked spirit comes with something. And the thing about wicked spirits is they don't travel alone. So they had made a house inside of her temple. I could just imagine bound in the mind, depressed, worry and anxiety, stressed. Want to get out but can't get out. Have you ever felt like that? Like you want to get out of this thinking, but you can't get out. This is how to identify if I've been bound before. You want to do it. You have an unction to do it, but somehow you feel locked up like you are in lockdown. The Bible says that she had seven devils. You know, and what the Lord reminded me of is, you see, the Bible doesn't talk about the time and the moment when he cast those seven devils out. We just hear about it after it happens. The Bible says, Mary of Magdala, of whom went out seven devils. But this is the kicker. I know that it must have been a fight. Because you see, when the devil has a hold on you, he's not letting you go so easy. I don't know about you, but I've been bound before. And he's not going to let you go just because you say, please let me go. You see, the Bible says that some don't go out but by prayer and fasting. I remember the story about the man that was, the devil was cast out of him, and he began to foam out of the mouth and begin to have seizures because the devils didn't want to let him go. You see, guys, they refuse to be let out. You see, they love to be in a vessel. They're like, if I can't be in this vessel, God, send us to the swine. Send us to the pigs. They love being in a vessel. And they had made a happy home in Mary of Magdala. But one day, I don't know what day it was, but one day she met him. I don't know how it looked. I don't know if she was at her house. I don't know if she was like the man of the Gadarenes. I don't know how that encounter looked when she met him. But what I do know is when she met him and after she met him, out went the seven devils. You see, in order to cast out devils, you got to be a stronger person to cast out devils. Mark 3 says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, yet except he first bind up the strong man and then spoil his house. What that means is when Christ comes on the scene, he binds up the devil. You see, when Jesus come on the scene, the devil say, what are you? Are you here before the time? Thou son of David. Have you come to torment us before time? They're afraid of him. They're afraid of him. So on that day, Mary met the Messiah. She met the Messiah. The Bible didn't say that it took several days. One. So what have you been waiting on? This is how our God works. On Tuesday, bound, on Wednesday, set free. You see, after this miraculous miracle, she was so taken back that she didn't want to leave him. She was so taken back. She even went further than the woman with the alabaster box. Because you see, she just took her precious ointment, which was costly, the Bible says. She broke it and she poured it on him. She wiped his feet with her hair and her tears. But then she left. But this woman, of whom seven devils came out, she stayed. She stayed. I said, God, what you want to tell your daughters tonight? He said that, Mary, tell them that Mary of Magdala, she didn't leave me. You see, many of us, when we pray for something and we get Miss Genevieve what we've been asking, we leave him. And listen, guys, I've been guilty of it before, and it breaks my heart because I'm like, God, if you do this, then I'm going to do that. And he does it, and I don't even fulfill my part of the grant. Mary did not leave him. The Bible says in Matthew 27:55 that this was the crucifixion. And she had stayed with him from the healing. And as he went from town to town, she followed him. And she, Cherie, she stayed all up to the point to where he was being crucified. So I just thought to myself, I said, so she saw the betrayal of Judas. Because commentators said that the certain women, they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. She watched the beatings and the piercing. She even saw the thieves. She heard Christ's last words. And the Bible says that she watched from afar off. But even though all of that was going on, she didn't leave him. Peter denied him. The Bible says that others went back home. But Mary didn't leave. She stayed. She stayed with him. Will you leave? This is what God is wanting to know tonight. See, guys, she was at risk of losing her life because they were persecuting all that followed Jesus. But she did not leave. I can imagine her and Jesus' mother and the other ladies watching afar off when Jesus says, Taleo, it is finished. The Bible begins to say that she begins to weep. Can you imagine, like, so she didn't have anybody. He was the one that accepted her. But now he's crucified. So who does she have? So the Bible says that she stays at the tomb. Keila, she doesn't even leave the tomb. She stays at the tomb, weeping. Weeping. Our third point is found in Mark 16. Let's see. So here it is. Jesus, it has been crucified. In 16:9, the Bible says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. So he had died and he had risen at this point. And I say, God, he appeared first to a woman. He appeared first to a woman. Not Peter, the rock of the church. Not John, his beloved. But you appeared first to Mary of Magdala, out of whom seven devils came out of. I said, my God, I said, why? Out of all of the people, why not to his mother like the Catholics say? But you see, God does not do anything for anything. Everything has a purpose and a plan and a reason behind it. God said, I just want to show y'all my grace. So every time I say Mary of Magdala, I'm attaching out of whom seven devils came out of. Because I don't want anybody to ever forget how she looked when I found her. Because you see, sometimes we're in church and we forget how we looked when God found us. Because some of us sit in here and we say, well, we're not bound with seven devils. We hadn't been locked up before. But can I tell you that the devil is a liar? There is no truth in him. We've all been bound before. We've all been on lockdown before. But he says, I wanted to show my grace. You see, the Bible in Luke 19:10 says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. So whenever I show myself to Mary Magdalene, then my scripture is found to be true, that I've came to seek and to save that which was lost. She wasn't like a goody two-shoes. She wasn't a queen or a leader, but she was found in the gutter. God said, I don't want you to do somebody high and haughty tonight, but I want you to look down in the gutter. God wanted to show us that he still saved folk in the gutter. My God. But you got to know that we all come from the gutter. He says in Luke 5 that he's come not for the righteous, but for the sinners. He didn't come from the for the righteous. He go looking for the sinners, like, where they at? Where they at? That's the ones I want. He says, I didn't come for those that need not a physician. I come for the sick. If you're well, then you don't need me. But if you're sick, then here I am. So whenever he shows up to Mary Magdalene, everybody will see how good he is. You see, guys, Mary was a wretch. I have here that she was forgotten, abandoned, and disregarded. But God took a wretch, somebody low down, And he showed his unmerited favor. He showed his unmerited favor, his grace, on somebody who didn't deserve it. My God. You see, you always got to remember where God found you at. Can you think back to the time? Can you remember whenever he spoke to you for the very first time? Whenever he convicted you of your sins for the first time, because guess what? We weren't always convicted of our sins. But there was a time when we lied and didn't feel anything, but then there was a time when we lied and we felt so guilty for lying. He went and got Mary Magdalene to show forth his grace. You see, I just think that the devil was shocked. He didn't expect this. This was like a curveball pitch. Because you see, Mary of Magdala was supposed to end up this way. He didn't take into account that she would come across the living Lord. You see, he had an end for your life. He didn't expect you to be here this day. He said, I got her on lockdown. I got her all bound up. Because I've seen the generations that she's come from, and she's going to end up just like this one and that one and this one and that one. But we've met the living Lord. Pastor always tells my story on the pulpit. But I'm going to tell it myself today. I was a person that went to the clubs a lot. Maybe a little shocker to my mother tonight, but yes. She dropped me off, and I went off. And so I was doing what I normally would do. And at this time, I had a boyfriend at the time, and He had ministered to me. He had told me about a savior. But I wasn't quite ready to hear about a savior. He said, why don't you pray with me? And I said, well, I think he's cute, so I'll still pray with him. But let's hurry up and finish praying so that I can get dressed and be off. So we prayed a sinner's prayer. He says, repeat after me, and I repeated after him. And so he said, so are you still going to go to Bayou Classic? I said, absolutely. I don't know if that was a deterrent for me not to make the Bayou Classic, but I was still going to the Bayou Classic. So I got to the Bayou Classic, me and a few certain women. And we were on Bourbon Street, and we were walking down Bourbon Street. And you know how that goes if you've ever been there. It's a lot of people, a million people, and everybody's intoxicated and things of that sort. And I began to walk, and I was walking with friends, and I heard a voice that says, you don't belong here. I said, who is that? He said, you don't belong here. I was taken back. My night, it kind of messed up my night. No one was speaking to me in my party, but yet I heard a voice. And can I tell you that I've never heard that voice before? I had never heard him, Miss Denise. That was the first time. So as I think about Mary of Magdala's story, I think about where I was when he found me. You see, and the thing about it is, God says, you know why I showed myself to her first? Not only because to show forth my grace, but to show all women how much she loved me. You see, she loved him. And she had devoted her life to him. He was the chief love of her heart. She never left him. And so he said, because she loved me and because she stayed by me, I'm going to show myself to her. But you see, there was a special niche about Mary. She always remembered where she came from. And because she constantly remembered that Jesus cast out 7 devils out of her, it compelled her to stay with him. So I could imagine right when she was about to leave, she remembered. You see, the problem with us is that we don't remember. We've forgotten how we were when he found us. Have you forgotten? You've been saved too long. You don't know how he found you, how you was bound up in lockdown. One preacher said that when we have a low sense of our debt to Christ, little obligation is made. When we don't realize how much we owe him, we don't do anything for him. But you see, J.C. Ryle, a preacher in Spurgeon's day, he said this. He said that the man who is deeply conscious of his own guilt and corruption and deeply convinced without the blood and intercession of Christ, he would sink deservedly into the lowest of hell. This is the man who will spend and be spent for Jesus. And all that is pretty much saying is that when you understand your guilt and the corruption of your own heart, you will realize that anything that you got was deserved. And anything that you don't get is the mercy of God. But when you realize the debt of your guilt, it should cause you to be spent for Christ. So many of us get something from him and we leave him. He's calling you back tonight. You see, Mary of Magdala, she never forgot. The Bible says that when you love much, when you've been forgiven much, you love much. She had been forgiven so much. You see, many of us don't realize how much it took for Christ to save us. We take it lightly. You got to know that it was the weight of the whole world. When I think about the sins, my own personal sins, all I can do is spend my life for him. You got to know your heart. And Mary of Magdala, she knew. So she gave up everything for him. And I want to charge you tonight. When was the last time that you said, I'm going to be spent for him? You see, the Bible says that the early morning is when Jesus appeared to her. He has a promise that says that when you seek me early, you will find me. Mary did not leave the tomb, so she sought him constantly early, and there he was found. When was the last time that you woke up early? When was the last time that you stayed up late for him? And how about this? And you didn't want anything. You see, Miss Kathleen, we stay up early. We wake up early and we stay up late when we want something. You don't think God sees that? He said, but when are you going to be like Mary of Magdala? She didn't leave me. She didn't get what she wanted and then leave me. He's calling all his homegirls back tonight. He's saying, wake up for me. Set your alarm for me. Stay up late. And don't come asking me for all kinds of stuff. He said, I know what you have need of. But can you just love me and not always my hand? Can you echo with me and say, forgive me, Father? Forgive us. Because, Ms. Vanessa, I've done the same thing. I'm guilty of the same thing. But God says, enough. When you want a relationship with me? Mary, he healed her that one time. We don't hear anything else in the scriptures that he kept on giving her things. Did not he heal you already? Then why aren't we following him? It was just that one time. And that one time made her stay. But here we are, always with our hand out, looking for something. He want you. But he want you just to want him. Is he not enough? Miss Ronika prays. She says, Lord, let you be our portion. Is he not enough? Let us have a word of prayer. O most gracious Father, we repent of our hands always being out. God. We repent of our hands always being out. We're always asking for stuff. Even though you said you would give it to us, but help us to want you. Help us not to ask for things that don't matter. Father, I pray that we would have a spirit like Mary of the city of Magdala, and we would be in so much awe of that one time when you saved us. Was that not enough? He says, was that not enough? What else do you want? I pray that these daughters tonight would just come to you, just loving you, just getting to know you, just returning back to you. I ask, Lord God, that you would touch every heart in this place. In Jesus' name. We're going to give a few moments of altar time. Could we possibly get the call? Could we possibly get it? We're going to have a little altar time. Sound booth, if you can help me out. We're going to just do a little bit of it. If you can say, you know, I forgot. I forgot what he took me from, and I haven't been spending my energy, my time on him, but I've been spending it on my own idols and my own lust. If that's you, come on up. And we're just gonna be up here for 2 to 3 minutes. if you can say, you know, that I miss the cross. I miss it. I miss it. If you can say, I miss that sweet prayer time that we've had, that I used to have. If you can say, I forgot how his voice sounds. If that is you, if you can say that, if you can say, you know, I hadn't had a time where I met him. I'm going to pray with you as the worship team come up, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to worship, and we're going to go. You will be home for 8:30. Father, I pray for these women tonight. I pray, God, that you would see all of their hearts and that you would draw them to you. I pray for any lost soul in this place, God, that they would believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Yahshua, our Savior. I pray that they would remember the day that they've encountered him. I ask that you would forgive all sins, every single sin. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins in your heart. Say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I ask that you would save me. Ask him to save me. Say, Lord, please save me. Bring me back. Bring me back. Father, I cover these women, Lord God. I pray covering over them that you would save all lost, heal all broken. And Father, I ask that everyone bound up would be loosed in the name of Jesus. Yahshua, we pray that you would do it, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Reveal your glory.